Word of God, turn to Genesis and chapter number 1. Genesis and chapter number 1. And kind of preaching the second half of a message we started last week. Last week we entitled our sermon, God, the Beginning of All Beginnings. God, the beginning of all beginnings. And today we want to look at God, the only Creator. God, the only Creator. And we have been all year, and we're going to continue throughout the year, as the Lord leads, to be kind of always directing our attention towards the theme of who but God. And as we look at the things throughout the Word of God, we're going to be faced with answering this question over and over and over as you look through the Word of God, that only He, and He alone, could have caused to be what is. And only He and He alone has the answers for making what is work out right. And so many times people want to act like they can find their own answers because their reality is different from everybody else's and their conditions are different from everyone else's. And we're always going to come back to this reality that God alone knows how to make life work. He's the only one that does, and there is no other source that we can run to. There's no other thing in life that we can take, and people will turn to all sorts of different things for answers. People will turn to drugs. People will turn to relationships. People will turn to different hobbies or different activities, and they'll try to find an answer, and they'll try to drown themselves out, and they'll try to drown out the problems of life. But when it all comes back to reality, we're going to find out this, that God is the only answer. And to whom else could we turn other than God? So this morning we're going to look at God, the only Creator. We're just going to read the first five verses again of the book of Genesis. And if you would stand with me in honor of the Word of God, just as we read these few verses, honestly just still continuing to look at Genesis 1:1. And this morning, but we're going to read the first five verses. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God saw the light that it was," and I think this is important, that especially in the day we live in, that word good might be underlined, because everything God created, I mean, you can read right through the first couple chapters, everything God created, He said it was good. He said it was good. And so however you were created by God, guess what? That was good as well. And God intended for it to be good and made it as He intended. It says, God saw the light that it was good. God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the first day. 24-hour period of time. God, the only Creator. Let's pray, and then we'll get into today's message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You so much for Your love. We ask that You just would be with the needs that are represented here this morning. And God, I don't know what all physical needs are might be represented, but Lord, I know You do. And more importantly than that, I know You know the spiritual needs that are represented here today. And God, I pray that You would, Lord, help to address each and every one of them. I pray that You would find the hearts here that, Lord, we've already stopped and we've given You permission to speak. I pray if there's someone here that they've already tuned me out, God, that Your Spirit would be even louder to them today. And God, that You would speak very expressly to them as we consider the thoughts that You are the only Creator. Lord, and men might try to make things. Men, we try to form things, but there is only one Creator. And Lord God, I pray You just help us to be able to leave here, Lord, allowing ourselves to be submitted and surrendered to You as the Creator. Lord God, we thank You so much for Your love. We ask You to be with this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Last week we discussed the biblical fact, not that the Bible was trying to give us a case for, but for the existence of God. But we understand that the Bible just starts by stating the fact that in the beginning, God. And that's not up for debate with God. He's very confident that He was there. Amen. And so is His Word would give us testimony to the fact that He was there. And the Bible makes no effort to try to prove His existence. It takes for granted the fact that He does exist. And the problem in the world today is that we are, for the most part, trying to live life without God as part of it. That's what's so wrong with most people's lives, is their life is not set up based upon the Word of God, but their life is set up based upon an absence of God. And because it's based on an absence of God, it's based on an absence of the Word of God, which would help us to know the mind of God, which has helped us to order life. That's what God gave us His Word for, so we could have basic instructions before leaving earth. And many don't want to have God as part of their life. Their philosophies, their systems of beliefs, their worldviews, their isms, if you will. We went through many of them last week. Not all, but many. And their different ways of expressing the same unbelief. Someone is given to atheism. It's a way of their expressing their unbelief. Someone is given to pragmatism. It's a way of expressing their unbelief in the Word of God and the ways that God has outlined for this world to be established. This unbelief does not solve, though, we looked at this, any problems. It doesn't solve any problems. Just to have the idea, well, there is no God, and I'm going to create life from my perspective. I'm just going to create a world that makes sense to me. I'm going to create a world that I can control, or I feel like I have a sense of control in, and they're going to try to create something without God. The problem is they cannot create anything, and the other problem is that doesn't solve any problems. It only garners more questions. It only renders more questions from people when they have not an idea how to create something that only He could create and had created. Because we believe the Bible, though today, praise the Lord, we have some answers. Now, I have questions. You say you have no questions in life. I have questions in life. Don't get me wrong, but understand with me. I know where the source of all the answers are, though. I'm not sitting around wondering, hoping that someone's going to come along and someone's going to be able to share with me the answers. I already know that someone has come along. His name is Jesus. And God has, through Him, given us an opportunity to have an understanding of His Word so that we might be able to walk in His ways. We have the answer this morning. His name is Christ. Not confused today as the rest of the world is on how and when life begins. Not confused on that this morning. You watch the news, and I'm telling you what, there's huge debate of our politicians. There's huge debate around our country about when does life really begin and when is life really viable. Understand, it was viable when God placed it in the womb. That's when it became viable, is when God said that there was life in that womb. And God is the giver of life. And understand, because we believe and read the Word of God, we're not confused about when life begins today. Not one bit are we confused about that. I am not one bit confused about what marriage is today. I understand what marriage is. Marriage is a relationship that God formed between. I know this is controversial in this world, but it should not be here. Man is a covenant that God made between a man and a woman. Not men and men and women and women, but according to the Word of God, it is a covenant between a man and a woman that they two shall be one flesh. And they're going to come together and form a home and a family. And you say, well, that's just very shallow-minded. That's very narrow-minded. No, that's the truth according to the Word of God. I didn't come up with that at all. It wasn't like I sat around in my house and I stared at the wall, or I went out to a lake and I stared off in the abyss and of nature and just looked out there and sought for something to give me some answer and some mind on the subject. No, listen to me. I read the Word of God. Help me understand what marriage is. Today, listen to me, I'm not confused about what my gender is. There's a lot of people in this world that understand they're very confused about their gender. And listen to me, they believe that you have no right to tell someone what their gender is. I agree. I don't have a right to tell you what your gender is. I believe God told you what your gender was going to be when He created you. God determined that for you. It's not about me determining it for you or you determining it for you. It was, guess what? It was predetermined. Predetermined. I did not have a conversation with God about it. God didn't consult me on it. God created me a man. Praise the Lord. I'm glad He did. not confused about my gender. And you say, well, I just don't know how you can know. Understand, my son, my youngest son, since he was 5 and really could look around and see and talk loudly because he's related to me, has been able to walk through a store and he could be able to tell when a man tries to look like a woman. And he can tell when a woman tries to look like a man. And there have been numerous times, and I'm not trying to be rude or crude to anyone, I'm just telling you, there have been many times that when through the eyes of a child, he's looked and he said, Dad, why is that man trying to be a woman? Why is he dressed like a woman? And Mom, why is that woman dressed like a man? And listen to me, or trying to look like a man. Understand, as young as 5 and now even 7 years old, he's still confused. Why some people are so confused about what they are. Causes him not to understand. Well, why if they are obviously that, are they trying to be this? Yep. Not confused about gender. Why? Because we understand that God created male and female. Created he them. He didn't make any confusion on the subject. There is one or the other. I know that's narrow-minded. I know that's against our culture. And understand that's against a man's prevailing belief today. But guess what? I didn't come up with that on my own. I read the Bible. I'm not confused today about what the future holds. I'm not. You say, oh, you know what's going to happen tomorrow? No, I don't. But I know who does. And he said, take no thought for tomorrow what she shall wear or what she shall put on. Listen, for your father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Understand with me, I understand what's happening in the future. I understand that there's a future kingdom to come. I understand that there is a life after this life. I understand that this morning. You say, well, where would you get all these concepts and all these ideas? I mean, some sci-fi movie probably. No, I didn't go to Hollywood. I've read the Bible. I've read from Genesis to Revelation, and guess what I found? I found answers. Not my own. Some that I find that I don't necessarily agree with right away. Some that I find that don't agree with me right away, where there's a turmoil in my flesh to say, hey, listen, this portion of Scripture is talking to you, and this is talking about your attitude, and this is talking about your actions, and you need to correct them. And sometimes I don't sit there and go, oh, thank you for correcting me. I've never been one for that. I just love when I get corrected. I've just loved it. I mean, when my parents disciplined me when I was growing up, I always before they would take the belt or they'd take the paddle and they'd spank my rear end for my disobedience or that, I always stopped. I said, Dad, Mom, I thank you so much for taking time to correct me and to lovingly nurture me into a respectable human being. I mean, I always took time to stop and thank them and then say, now will you please tan my hide? That's always was my response. Well, that's never our response. That's against human nature to want to be corrected. But understand with me, I can read the Word of God. I can know what the future holds. I can know right and wrong. I can know the mind of God. I can know what God expects. Not because I have some mystical ball that I look into. And not because I have some supernatural power other than that which God put in me by His Spirit, understand, that helps to communicate with me the very Word of God. So, I'm not trying to make things up. I'm trying to live by the absolutes, and there are such things as absolutes, found in God's Word. Truly, God, listen to me, my friend, is the only creator. God is the creator of all. By definition, created means, this is what created means, it means formed from nothing. That's what created means. It means formed from nothing. Some of you might say, I'm the creator of this, I'm the creator of that, I created this new product, or I'm the inventor. Listen, they can be in the inventor, they can make things, and they can form things, but when we're talking about creating things, that is something that only God could do. For everything that I might form, I used materials from somewhere else. Everything that I might make, I gathered materials from someone else or from something else, and I put something together, and I made it and I formed it. But listen to me, God from nothing created all that exists. He caused it to, listen, exist. is what God did. The word created is only used in the Word of God to describe the work of God in the Bible. Only God, who can create something from nothing, called into existence that which had no existence. Are you with me? When we're talking about God created, we're talking about there was nothing. There was the absence of everything. And after the spoken Word of God, there was the existence of something from nothing. Romans in chapter 4, verse 17, it says this: He calleth those things that be not as, I like this, as though they were. He calleth those things that were not as though they were. Hebrews in chapter 11, if you'll look over there with me. Hebrews chapter 11, you say, well, man, it just kind of takes some faith to believe this. Absolutely, it does. It takes faith in the Word of God. And in Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse number 3, it says this. I want you to put your eyes on this scripture. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of the things which do appear. No, listen to me. They didn't create themselves. They didn't come from one another. They all had their existence, and they all had their creation in God. The eternal, self-existent, self-sustaining God, we talked about this last week, spoke all matter into existence, and it began to exist when He spoke it. The light that we've read about in the first few verses here of Genesis. And then we can go down and we can understand the waters that were divided and the land that did appear. And the stars that we see. And the fish and the birds and the creation of the plant life and the trees. Listen, He spoke all of it into existence. His power is such that it happened immediately. it's not like, you know, the power of me. I mean, I can speak words, and I'll tell you what, my dog doesn't even move sometimes when I speak, you know. But like, Lucy, let's get up, let's go. And she just lays there, and she might turn over and look at me and grunt, you know, and then go right back to snoring. But listen to me, that's about how much power my words have, is the dog doesn't even listen. But understand, when God spoke, even though there was nothing there, immediately by His power, and I'm talking about some amazing power, things happened. Things took place. Things moved. There were no gaps in time needed for it to pass. It wasn't like He said it and eventually it happened. No, He said it and it happened. There was no do-overs. It wasn't like He said it and said, oh man, we got it wrong this time. We have to make it again new. We have to try it over. No, He spoke it. It immediately happened. And His immediate response was this: man, it's good. It is good. That which I have spoken, that which I have created, it is good. Problems come in when man tries to apply their knowledge to God's Word. Man tries to apply their ability to God's Word, to what only God can do. Man will try to cause attributes to try to explain away the power of God. Listen, don't try to explain away the power of God. Have faith in the power of God, that which He spoke into existence was created by Him from nothing. It came up it came up to be without any other source of power, without any other source of matter. It came to be because He spoke it. There's no we don't need ideas for our alternative creation. Men have come up with them. These are Christians, people that would claim to know God and would claim to believe the Bible, people that would claim to have an idea of the power of God, come up with things like the gap theory and the day-age theory and theistic evolution, where God was not completely in control, or where God, there's things that took place that we don't have that aren't in the Bible because it took time to take place. It took time to process. And when the Bible talks about a day being a day, it's not talking about a 24-hour period. It's talking about thousands of years. No, listen. Stop trying to explain away the power of God and start believing the Word of God. Amen. You had 1,000 years. Guess what? You could never create anything from nothing. No, come on. You say, well, what it took was thousands of years. And these days we're talking about each day was 1,000 years because it says elsewhere in the Bible that 1,000 years is as a day with God. And so that's what God's talking about. It's not 24. Listen to me. You're trying to apply your power to His Word. You're trying to apply your ability to His Word. And you could take 1,000,000 years, my friend, and you would never create something out of nothing. So stop trying to diminish the power of the Word of God. Stop trying to explain away the truth of the Word of God and the ability of God, and understand this, that when God speaks, things happen. God speaks, things move. Creation is a unique work of God alone. He didn't form or make already existing materials come together into more complex systems. That's not what He did. So it wasn't like He said, well, we have some kidneys over here, and we have some eyes over there, we have some flesh here, let's put it all together. No. He took from the dust of the ground, He breathed life into man where there was no life. He created life. That's what He did. Wasn't like, well, we have some fragments of dust over here and we have some explosive materials over there and boom, we'll create a sun. No. He simply spoke light and it was created. He created everything by speaking into existence all things that had no previous existence. You say, you keep belaboring this point, and I have a purpose for it, but I want us to get this. There was no previous existence except in the mind and the power of God. There was no previous existence until God said, and it was.
Right.
There was nothing. So, that's how God created. He spoke it into existence. But the how doesn't give us the why, does it? Say, well, what for what purpose did God create? I mean, we understand, and I'll be willing to you that God created, but that still does not give us purpose. Certainly, if God created, come on, He had to have a purpose for what He was doing. There had to be a plan behind what He was doing. He didn't just do it for nothing. It wasn't like he was bored. No. He had a plan. He had a purpose. Well, why was that? And how does it all work together? And more importantly, what do I have to do with it? I mean, if God created all, I think that's where the world really gets down to, where most people might sit up at night and most people might go from one thing to another just trying to figure out the why. Why? Why did God create me this way? Why has God allowed things to take place the way they've taken place? Why? We can come up with all sorts of whys. Listen to me. God had a very particular purpose when He created. We're here in the book of Genesis, over in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, in chapter 4 and verse 11. It says this, "Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." They are and were created. And you say, well, that's we started at the beginning of the Bible, now you just read from the end of the Bible. What's the purpose of everything in between? Listen to me. It helps us to understand purpose. No, you read from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to find out this, that God had a distinct plan, God had a distinct outline, God had a distinct mind, and guess what it was all for? It was all for the purpose of you having fellowship with Him. That's what it was for. You say, well, I mean, everybody, yeah. No, God, who is God, look from who knows the beginning from the end, who is self-sufficient, who is infinite in His wisdom and infinite in His power, look through time and He desired to have a relationship with you, and He desired that between you and He there would be pleasure. Pleasure. You say, well, no, it says we were created for His good pleasure. But I'm telling you what, when we'll walk in God's plan and we'll do things according to God's purposes and we'll do things God's way, I promise you, there is pleasure for the creation as well. Yep, there's pleasure for the creation as well. You go ahead and do things your way, and you go ahead and live life as you choose, and you go ahead and live life by your means and by your methods and by your ability and by your power. Listen to me. You're going to find yourself void of pleasure. Void of pleasure. A lot of things God's created, listen, are there for our pleasure as much as His. Men can sure mess things up, can't they? I mean, you try to go out to a lake, guess what? Man, you say, well, we're just going to go out in the lake and we're going to go fish. You better get a license. And you better understand the order of conservation. And you better have the whole of your boat washed off. And I'm telling you what, men can make up a whole lot of rules that take a whole lot of pleasure about just even going to the lake. Yeah. You say, well, we're just going to live life. And I was listening to the radio the other day, and there was there's two men and a lady, and they were talking about basketball and on the radio station. And the lady had just gotten engaged, and she was doing wedding plans. And one of the guys said, now, how long have you guys known each other? She said, well, we knew each other about 3 to 4 months before we got engaged. And he says, so when did, and he says, and she said, But she said we just determined that wasn't long enough. We need to get to know each other. So we've really done things right, and we moved in with each other. We've lived together now for 2 years, and we're going to now finally get married in August, I think is when the date was. Listen to me. You say, wait a second. What do you mean you've done things right? Do you understand the thinking of man? I mean, the thinking of man is, hey, you know what? You need to really get to know each other. You need to really make sure this thing works. And you say, well, you think they should have gotten engaged after 3 months? Probably not. That was probably a bonehead move of its own. But I do know this, that God had a certain purpose and design for men and women. And it was never that they just shack up together. Yeah. It was never that, hey, we're going to try this thing out and see if it works. And if it doesn't work, we'll just roll it up, throw it away. We'll go get a new relationship. That was never God's plan nor His design. No. Listen, God designed things that they would be an eternal existence. She stuck with me. Praise the Lord. I remind her of that quite often. You're stuck with me. No. Listen. God's plan and God's design, it was all created with a purpose. Listen, for His good pleasure. My point is this, if we'll do things His way, the pleasure is not only His, it is ours as well. Because when we bring pleasure to God, listen to me, He causes that which He's pleasured in through us to be pleasurable to us. God desires to have fellowship with His creation. In Genesis in chapter 3, in verse number 8, God came down. He walked among His creation in the cool of the evening. But Adam had sinned, and his sin had separated him, separated both he and his wife and his future seed. It had separated him from God. And you can go over to Revelation in chapter number 5, and you can understand this, that it says that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so that death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. And you say, I just don't think that's very kind that Adam did that. And you say, what was his problem? Listen to me. The problem was that Adam had a choice to make. Adam was to obey the law of God. He was given one law. Don't eat of this tree. Don't eat it. For in the day you eat of this tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt surely die. You say Adam was fully aware of that? According to the Scripture, Adam was fully aware of that, given one commandment. And given one commandment, guess what Adam chose to do? Break it. He chose not to do things God's way, but he chose to please his own flesh. He chose to do things that would be more pleasing to his desire and his mind and his ways. And he chose his wife Eve. And the very next thing we find out is that the fellowship between he and God was now broken. There was no more fellowship. He didn't die physically. We understand he died spiritually. He's put outside the presence of God. He was put outside the garden and now had no more fellowship with God. But praise the Lord that God had a plan. No, praise the Lord. God had a plan. He had a purpose. He desired to He desired to to find pleasure in you. And He desired to have you have a life of pleasure. He desired to have fellowship with you. But God's plan was far bigger. Because God does know the beginning from the end. And you say, well, wait a minute. Are you talking about Calvinism? We're not talking about Calvinism. We're talking about the fact that God sees all and knows all. And God didn't say, listen, this one's going to hell and this one's going to heaven. And I want a relationship with this one. I don't want a relationship with that one. But listen, God knows the beginning from the end. He is all knowing. He is all seeing. He knows who will choose Him and who will not. He knows all those things because He knows all. And God's plan was that He knew Adam was going to sin. just as much as he knew you as his creation were going to sin. And before, again, in the book of Revelation, before the foundation of the world, according to Revelation 3:8, the Lamb was slain to cover the payment of your sin. It had already been predetermined. Before the worlds were formed, before the foundation of the very world, God knew that there would have to be a plan in place if he was ever going to have fellowship with his creation, because his creation was going to break his law. And God had a plan to save his creation. The gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of his son Jesus Christ was his plan for our redemption. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in verse number 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," guess what? He's a new creature. He's a new creature. And you say, well, okay, new creature. Yeah, yeah. But it doesn't go on there. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It says that we are a new creature created in Christ Jesus. Understand, when you got saved, or if you were to get saved, you wouldn't be the same thing that you were. No, no, God creates you anew. God makes you new. It's not like he was saying, listen, in you is life, and in you is the ability, and if you would just work hard enough, if you would just, man, if you would just do enough good, if you would just do enough to get it done, you could do it, and I'm just going to assist you, and I'm going to aid you. No, no, no. In you, there was not life. In you, listen to me, there was nothing that caused you to have a spiritual connection to God. There was nothing within you that caused you to have an ability to have a spiritual connection with God. And this is what God did in Jesus Christ. He created a new creature in you, one that wasn't like the old one, one that's completely new, one that now has a relationship with him. It's creation that he did. It's a creation that took place. It's God's redemptive plan for all mankind. I have to be recreated, listen, by the only one who can create. Praise the Lord. Listen, that was his plan. Is that, listen, he was going to make a way so I could be recreated by the only one create, the only one who can make something out of nothing. The only one that can cause there to be something when before, nothing. The only one that can just say with his words, life. hey, listen, there's going to be life in you. We'll see. How do you know there's life in you? Well, I've read his word. Come on. You say, what's the purpose of his giving us the word of God? So we can know the truth and allow the truth to set us free, and allow the truth and in the spoken word of God to help us understand the truth of God and the knowledge of God, the ways of God, the plan of God. And by his word, listen, we can find salvation. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You say, well, I don't know what Genesis 1:1 has to do with our life today. Listen, it has to do a whole lot with your life today if you actually have life. Did you hear me? I said it has a whole lot to do with our life today if you actually have life. Because just as God created all and spoke it into existence, if you have life in him today, it's because he has spoken it. He said it would take place. He said, for whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. Say, well, how do we know we have it? Because we have faith in his spoken word. We have faith in his spoken word. I have to be recreated. The question before mankind today is not, did God create? Say, well, no, people question that. No, they might question it, but it's not really a question that's up for debate. Might be in some people's mind, but according to God, he's not confused on the subject. He created. But the question before mankind today is this: will I allow God to be the creator of my life? Will I allow God to be the creator of my life? Will I allow his word to guide my thoughts and my actions? That's the question before all mankind today. There's going to be some kind of principle, some kind of purpose, some kind of faith that all men are going to follow after. It might be evolutionism. That might be the faith that they have, and that might be what they follow after. It might be deism. It might be that they believe in a plurality of gods. I mean, there might be all sorts of worldviews, all sorts of different thoughts, all sorts of different plans that make sense to men and that men follow after. But listen to me. The question before men today is, will we receive that God is the only creator, and thus as the only creator, will we allow Him to have His creative work in our lives? In my life, will I allow Him to be the creator? Will I submit to Him as the creator instead of acting out in my own pride, coming up with things to say, I just can't have faith in the fact that God created. Listen, friend, you're having faith and putting faith today in something. If you say, I just don't believe God, guess what? You're putting faith in that today. Do you hear me? You should sit there and say, I don't believe there's a God. I don't believe He created. Guess what? You just told me. You have faith in something. But those would be of your thoughts. Those would be of your mind. Those would be of the pride of your own life. You say, well, I think I've known a lot of prideful Christians. And the answer is that you're probably right. There are a lot of prideful Christians. I'm not dismissing that. I'm not saying it's okay either. But listen to me when I tell you, listen, that there's a God that created and there's a God that wants to create something in your life. It's not my opinions that I'm sharing with you. It's not just my mind on the subject. It's not just that I think this is a way God works. I think this is a good idea. No, we've read it and we've seen it in the Word of God. Not of our own creation, but trying to adapt our thinking, our actions, our life to His thinking. To His Word. Friend, will we seek the kingdom of the Creator, or instead will we try to make our own kingdom? Come on, will we seek the kingdom of the Creator? Will we accept that God is Creator, that God is in control, that God is in charge? That, listen, that God knows what He's doing. I understand with me, there's a lot of Christians today that just have, they don't think God has any clue what He's doing. So I don't know I'd say that. I'm telling you, that's how many live. God doesn't even care about a lot of things we do. God doesn't care about where I go. God doesn't care about how I act. God doesn't care about what I do. And honestly, listen to me. I'd have to say that these are people that are very ignorant of the Word of God. Because God does care. He does care. But if I'm not really living for His kingdom, I'm only living for my own, then really it doesn't make a difference what God said, what God cares about, and what God thinks. Because I'm not trying to allow Him to have be a creator or have creation in my life. I'm doing as I please. Today I want you to think about who the Creator is to you. I pray that you could leave here and you say, you know what, the Creator to me is my Savior. Created a new heart in me. Created life in me. Has given me purpose. Has given me a plan. Has given me reason to live. Who's the one at work in your life today? Are you allowing Him to continue His creation? Or this, have you taken over? Say, God, hey, You got us this far and now we're good from here. I'll tell you, there's a lot of lives that are lived that way. God, you've got us to this point and now, God, we're all good. Homes are run that way. Where we say, hey, listen, this is how God formed a home, and this is God's purpose for the home. This is God's plan for the wife. This is God's plan for the husband. This is God's plan for children. And people just go, okay, yeah. But that was hundreds of thousands of years ago. We're in the 21st century. And God's plans just really don't work with public school. And God's plans really don't work with jobs. And God's plan really doesn't work. And we come up with all sorts of different scenarios for why God's plan doesn't work for our home. And we can stop and we go, okay, yeah, we understand what the Bible says. And there's some good principles to live by. But that doesn't necessarily have to translate into my life. Understand with me. If God put a principle in His Word, it's not my job just to know that it exists. It's my job how to figure out how it translates into my life. That's why he gave the principle. You say, well, I know God. God created the church, and he formed the church, and he loves the church, and he gave himself for it. And the church can serve a purpose, but the church doesn't serve every purpose. It doesn't necessarily fit in the. No. Listen, if he created, he created it for a purpose. Listen to me. He didn't create anything and go, yeah, that's not really that good. I don't even know why I made that thing, really. No. He created everything. And he said this, it is good. Yeah. Somebody say, I just don't know what my purpose is in life. I can't find direction. I have no goals. I have no ambitions. And I stop and I'll say this. Well, have you been reading his word? Have you been searching the scripture? Have you been, listen, have you honestly been trying to apply the scripture to your life? Well, I've just been busy. So what you're saying is that you're satisfied with what you can make out of your life. So what you're saying is you're just satisfied with what you can make out of your home. So what you're saying is you're just okay with living life by your results, instead of looking to a God who had a purpose and a plan and trying to divine what that is from his word. You have your own way. And your way works for you, and thus your way should also work for God, because it's your way. And listen, you can get all day long what you can create. Come on, I can put all my effort into it. I can put all my ambition into it. And I can create, I can make something. But I'm not going to make it out of nothing. I'm not a creator. But there is a creator that has a purpose and a plan. And at the end of the day, we'll all be forced to understand this truth, that God alone is the only creator. I can make a mess. Trust me, I'm good at making messes. But God's the only creator. I'm telling you, teenagers, God has a plan for life. Moms, dads, God has a plan for your marriage. He has a plan for your home. Grandparents, God has a plan for old age. So I just can't do everything I used to do. That's fine. God still has a purpose and a plan. Read about Caleb. He has a purpose and a plan. And it doesn't matter from cover to cover where you go. I'm telling you what, you'll be forced to have this understanding that there is a God that has a purpose, a plan. And listen to me, he's the only one that can do it and stand back and go, it's good. It's good. Many times, I'm not bragging at all. Many times, step back and go, man, that was boneheaded. You say, why would you brag? Because that's about all I do is boneheaded. That didn't work. I've come up with a lot of ways not to do things right. But the Creator looks back at everything and says, it's good. Are you going to let him be the creator of your life? Or are you going to try to make it what you want it to be? Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed.